Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. We're going to do some money in politics. We've got Liz Peek, Fox News contributor, syndicated columnist. We've got Steve Moore of FreedomWorks and Committee to Unleash Prosperity Hotline and his radio show, WABC radio show, More Money. Following this show on many of these same stations, please stick around for more money. All right, kids, welcome back. Steve Moore, did you go to the rally in Iowa?
Hi, Larry, I did.
What? How was that, the Trump rally?
That was fantastic. I mean, it's the first time Trump ever spoke for just 10 minutes.
You're kidding.
Every candidate was given 10 minutes, and Trump was fantastic. I thought, actually, Vivek was good. I thought Governor DeSantis did a good job. But you know, then they have a big party afterwards, and everybody went to Trump's party. He stood there for an hour and 40 minutes and shook people's hands and took pictures. It was amazing.
Wow! And did he mention tax cuts in his 10 minutes?
Mostly, he talked about how he is going to reverse just about everything that Biden has done.
Yeah. Okay. I got it. No, it's probably a good campaign message. Liz Peek, I wanted to ask you, being the great mother you are, Joe Biden has now recognized the Ozark grandchild, Navy Joan Roberts. He has officially welcomed her back into the party. What do you make of that? Why is he doing that all of a sudden?
Well, look, even allies at the New York Times have been clobbering him for what is obviously a disgraceful and really mean-spirited ignoring of his grandchild, Navy Joan Roberts. I mean, there's no question she's part of the family, and yet they have studiously, Jill and Joe, and even Hunter, none of them has ever met this child. Hunter Biden has never met his daughter, which I find pretty appalling.
Is that right?
Actually.
I didn't know that. I did not know that.
This isn't a cold shoulder. This is a cold world that they have created for this child who knows, apparently, who her antecedents are, who her father is and who her grandfather is. So, really, it's pretty despicable. And Maureen Dowd, as we all remember, wrote 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, about her view of this ignoring of this child. And she was really, she ripped the president to shreds about it. Saying, you know, he puts family first. Well, this is family. She's not first. She's obviously last. So I think he succumbed to pressure, but it's not a very attractive picture, no matter where you start and where you end.
Why is he doing this, Steve Moore? You're a father. I mean, as Liz said, cold shoulder. Why now?
Well, why is he now acknowledging the child?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I think it's just because, as Liz just said, everyone knew it was just so disgraceful what the family was doing here. And I think, you know, look, his reputation has taken such a hit in the last few weeks. And, you know, I feel like they're indicting the wrong guy in Washington. I mean, and by the way, I talked to a number of congressmen in just the last few days, and they think that this, and senators, they think that this impeachment is a very real possibility.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about that. Kevin McCarthy was out first on Sean Hannity. Then he had his own little presser, what was it, Thursday, talking about an impeachment inquiry, Steve. Many people, I had Claudia Tenney on earlier in the program talking about it. Many believe that they, you know, can't get a proper investigation or proper all the evidence available, unless they do call impeachment. Even that may be difficult because the Justice Department stonewalls. You know, but I know there are allegations, but the evidence keeps mounting. Will impeachment be a smart thing for the Republicans? Steve. Hello? All right, I'll switch to Liz.
Well, look, I think impeachment is always risky. We've seen that with Donald Trump, where actually support for Donald Trump grew because he was impeached on pretty spurious grounds on a phone call, and this really cracks me up, to Ukraine's president wondering about corruption with Joe Biden. Well, guess what? That was a pretty legitimate inquiry, it seems to me. But anyway, impeaching President Trump did not help the Democratic Party. And I think it's reasonable for McCarthy to come out and say they're moving in that direction. I hope, Larry, that they have absolutely buttoned up this case before they go to impeachment, because Democrats and, let's face it, a very powerful media majority is going to land on Republicans and say this is just revenge. This is just, they're doing this because of a quid pro quo. So I think they have to be very careful here. But on the other hand, Republican voters, and you see this on Twitter all the time, expect the GOP majority to deliver. And one of the things they want to see is comeuppance, if you will, for Joe Biden.
I mean, it may be better, at least for a while, to just let the oversight committee work.
Yeah, exactly.
Comer. I mean, you've got, Liz, Devin Archer now, Hunter's best friend or former best friend, who was in the middle of all these nefarious, crooked deals. I mean, he could blow the lid off of this whole story if he chooses to.
I agree. And he will be sitting down for I don't know why this phraseology is so important, but for a recorded conversation with the committee. The only thing that worries me, Larry, is he apparently will testify that there were any number of phone calls, over 20 phone calls to Hunter Biden's business partners where Joe Biden was tapped in via a conference call. Hunter Biden would put the phone on the table, dial his dad, get him on the phone. But Devin Archer, I think, is also going to say he doesn't know whether Joe Biden was aware of the context or that he was aware that he was being sort of dropped into the middle of a business conversation. I think there's going to be wiggle room there. I think what's going to absolutely convict this guy is bank records and unearthing the LLCs and following the money. And I've got to tell you, I think the stupidest thing Joe Biden has done in office, and that is a long, long list to choose from, is saying to a reporter, where's the money? Okay, let's find the money. Let's follow the money. And when it turns out that there were LLC payments paid into the Biden family accounts, we know that's happened, but also into Joe Biden's account, or that money from, let's say, his daughter-in-law's account to his is highlighted, then I think there is really no question that Joe Biden personally benefited from the Chinese business deals, the Ukrainian business deals, et cetera. That's what they need to do.
Well, a week or two ago, I had Jamie Comer on the show, and he said they were really now investigating and searching for various bank transactions related to Burisma. That was their next step. And you're right. I mean, follow the money is a terrific tactic right now for that committee. Actually, for all the committees. I mean, the IRS has a whack at that, too. But you're right. Follow the money. In a sense, that's the groundwork for any impeachment. They got to come up with, as much evidence as possible before they decide to impeach.
I think that's true. I think the reputational damage can go on notwithstanding whether or not they actually get to formal articles of impeachment. And I suspect they will. I think over the next 6 months, that's very possible. But again, I just hope that they do it. And I give Comer a lot of credit. I mean, he is being ridiculed and debased by the left-wing media, and he's just sticking to his guns and sort of plodding through this, despite, as you say, unimaginable obstruction from the Department of Justice. I mean, I find that pretty shocking. I guess I still believe that these organizations are honest, and I don't think any longer that they are.
Yeah, they're not, Liz.
I know, but isn't it horrible to admit that?
When we grew up, they were, but we're grown up and they're not. Yeah. Steve Moore, do you think impeachment is the way to go for the House Republicans? Still no Steve Moore. All right, let's take a break, all right, and we'll see if we can get Steve back. Otherwise, Liz and I are going to talk about the energy situation, which is a very difficult story. I'm Kudlow, Liz Peek, Fox News contributor, syndicated columnist, and Steve Moore of Committee to Unleash Prosperity and the radio show More Money. We'll be right back.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
I'm Larry Kudlow. We are back with Liz Peek, Fox News contributor, syndicated columnist, and Steve Moore. I think he's finally shown up.
I am back.
Freedom Works, Committee to Unleash Prosperity Hotline, and his radio show following this show. It's called More Money. Steve, I want to give you a quick whack. Impeachment, good for the Republicans or not?
You know, I don't really think that impeachment is necessary here. I feel the same way with respect to Trump. I mean, look, we're going to have a sort of a jury in the voters in November of 2024. And I really feel strongly about this. Let the voters decide, you know, which of these two people they want and whether they believe these charges. And so, you know, I'm very concerned, I think, as most conservatives are, about the weaponization of our justice system in Washington. And there's something really unseemly about a president of the United States indicting the person he's running against. I mean, that's what third world countries do.
Well, he wants to throw him in jail.
Exactly.
We're up to 740 years. So that means he can't run against him.
The question I have for you guys is, could he be president if he's convicted? I don't know the answer to that, but, you know, is he going to be like the Nelson Mandela of America? And, you know, because that's, again, this is what third world countries do. They put their political enemies behind bars.
Yeah, well, Joe Biden, third world country. let me move on. Liz Peek, you wrote kind of a blockbuster. I really like this. Rising gas prices will torpedo Bidenomics, and you kind of walk through it. Now, this has come up a couple times during the show, but yours is really comprehensive. Just give us a quick overview.
Well, look, we've had a pretty substantial increase in oil prices in recent weeks, and it doesn't really look like that's going to turn around anytime soon, and it's now translating into higher gasoline prices. So first, why is it happening? It's happening mainly because OPEC Plus, but really Saudi Arabia and Russia, have decided to raise oil prices by cutting output. Okay, that's one topic we can go back to, because there's a reason both those countries obviously are doing that, and it's not just to raise oil prices, in my view. The second part of the story is high gas prices are the number one thing that correlate with Joe Biden's approval ratings. I mean, higher gasoline prices last year completely just knocked his approval ratings for a loop, and only when gas prices started to come down did he get up to around 40%, which is where he still is. But this is a very bad thing for Joe Biden, and particularly as he's out on the road, so to speak, it's sort of a metaphorical road, talking about Bidenomics and how great it is, because this is the number one thing that all Americans pay attention to. If gas prices keep going up, Bidenomics doesn't mean anything.
And can I just add something to that, which is that, I mean, I think Liz is right on this. And gas prices are going to continue to rise. I think you're going to see $4 a gallon gas based on what's happened to the oil price, because obviously the oil price is what dictates the price at the pump. And Larry, beyond that, I don't know if you saw, we had a little chart in the hotline the other day, that commodity prices are starting to rise again pretty significantly for the first time in a year. So this idea that inflation has been slayed, I'm not buying it.
Gasoline up to $3.75 nationwide.
Yep.
So it's up about 40, 50 cents. And Liz, you know what I was really interested in? Your last point in the article, how Warren Buffett is investing in fossil fuels. He's bought Oxy and he's bought an LNG company. He's a pretty smart guy. What does he know?
Yeah, isn't it funny how liberals love Warren Buffett until he does something that they don't approve
right.
of? Well, what does he know? 80% of the world is still reliant, and 79% of the U.S. power comes from fossil fuels. And this mind leap that the White House seems to have embraced, that we're going to pivot away from that to renewables overnight, it's ludicrous, Larry. And somebody needs to tell this. I mean, honestly, if there's one thing that should bounce Joe Biden out of the White House. It is this foolhardy rush to renewables and abandonment of fossil fuels. And that's why his approval ratings are tied to gas prices. Americans know yep. that since day one in office, he has declared war on fossil fuels, did everything imaginable, including just a week ago, raising prices yep. on people trying to drill for oil. So what's the upshot? The rig count is down. Yep. Production is nowhere near where it should be. It is beyond stupid. Even Obama had an all-of-the-above strategy with energy, which Joe Biden has simply abandoned.
Well, what they have is an all-of-the-above-ground strategy. So they don't want anything that comes from below the ground.
Well,
but it's a big issue. And by the way, Larry, did you see the other thing I think was so interesting, apropos of what Liz was just saying, is that Chuckie Schumer, your good friend Chuck Schumer in the Senate there, has basically had a press conference this week and said, if we run the table in 2024, we're going to double down. We're doubling down on our green energy policies.
Sure. He's a great American. Steve, I don't know how, if you had a cold shower this morning because they banned water heaters. And in the name of climate change, they're taking away all of our creature comfort appliances. I just happen to have a little list here. Gas stoves, yep. hot water heaters, shower heads, air conditioners, toilet flushing, light bulbs, gas-powered cars, cold-fired pizza, washer, dryer, yep. dishwasher, mobile homes, refrigerators, microwaves, gas furnaces, pool pumps, I can't heat my pool, battery chargers, dehumidifiers, and ceiling fans. I love my ceiling
yep.
fan.
Right.
They want to turn this into Europe. Have you ever taken a shower in a European hotel?
Actually, I like to take cold showers in the morning. My kids think I'm crazy. But
you are crazy. You take cold showers. I like warm water myself.
But there's a serious point here. I want people to understand this. The death rate from extreme weather is mm-hmm. lower today than any other time in the history of civilization as a percentage of population. Now, why is that? Why are there fewer people dying from extreme cold?
Air conditioning
and electric power. You know, yeah. you get heat in the summer, in the winter, and you get air conditioning in the winter, in the summer. And they're trying to, there was just an article about maybe we're going to have rationing of electricity. This is very dangerous, folks. It's dangerous to your health.
You ever try to flush a toilet in a European hotel? Takes you about 20 minutes. I mean, that's what they're doing.
And the worst thing is the showers, too. You're talking, the water just trickles out
yes.
of the shower.
That's
you have to stand there for 10 minutes before you get wet.
I like power showers and I like warm showers. But seriously, Liz, they're jamming it down our throats. This is part of this sort of Biden, big government socialism, top-down central planning. They're just jamming it down our throats through executive orders. And I think there's, people don't like this. People like their creature comforts. People like their appliances.
Yep.
They don't want to have to go out and buy everything new again, Liz. I mean, I think this is just a political mistake. And I think it just shows you how they operate. Steve Forbes was right ages ago when he said it's modern socialism through the regulatory state.
Yeah, and it's really, it just goes on and on. It seems to me every week there is another insulting infringement on consumer choice, consumer freedom.
Yes.
And I really don't think people like this. The accumulation of all these rules and regulations is staggering. And by the way, of course, it is a slap mostly at lower income Americans who have to pay more for products that don't work as well and who are being told, that this is essential. The other thing, Larry, I'd bring up, and I think this is going to become a bigger and bigger issue. I think Biden is destroying our auto industry. Mm-hmm. We haven't really seen the only way that Ford can move to more EV production is if basically the state bails them out because mm-hmm. they're losing so much money on this EV switch. And I think I haven't done enough work on this. I need to do more. But I must say, I think it is really a horrific thing that's happening.
Well, I would only add one thing to that, and that is that those car companies like Ford and GM, they're doing a pretty good job of ruining their own companies. I mean, mm-hmm. buying into all this EV stuff.
Yeah.
And the only company that's going to be making real cars is Toyota.
Yeah. Right.
But, you
Mary
know, Steve, I don't think they have a choice. I don't think they have a choice. Yep. I think the government threatens them with taking away the subsistence. I think over time, American auto companies, maybe those in Europe too, are really going to be sort of self-destructing. Yep.
All right, kids. Thank you ever so much, Liz Peek, Steve Moore. Steve Moore's More Money On coming after most of these same stations after this show. I'm Kudlow. We will see you next weekend. Thanks, folks.
Thank you.